Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, and I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State writer. This is double coverage. We're going to talk Ole Miss and Mississippi State football for a little while. We're glad you've chosen to join us today. Logan, how are you, man?
A little weary from travel all day yesterday, or most of the day yesterday. Got up here to Missouri. Even though I've got a Saturday off, I'm paying for it on Thursday and Friday.
Well, you know, you got to pay the piper somewhere. You're coming, you're cutting in and out there. Can you hear me pretty well?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, that sounds a lot better. I saw you tweeting about an interesting travel day with a lot of barking, at least one barking dog on the plane. Is that right?
That's correct. I've never had that happen before, but I was flying from Atlanta to St. Louis last night, and a dog barked the entire trip. It was barking from below me in the luggage compartment. I mean, it barked constantly from Atlanta to St. Louis. I was tired of it.
Well, I can imagine so. That's one more thing to deal with on travel. I tell you what, man, when I can just drive it, I like to drive it. Well, folks, it's a different week for us this week because Mississippi State has a Thursday game. Logan is there with the Bulldogs in Columbia. They'll kick off tonight at 8. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. We'll talk about the Rebels as well. Ole Miss at home this week against Arkansas. It's the 2:30 CBS game. The Rebels still in control of their own fate in the SEC race, and that's nice. That's something nice to have when November is getting here. And frankly, you know, Logan, they were throwing out that still in control of their SEC destiny fact after the Memphis game. It was a little bit of a hollow attempt at soothing a very devastating loss. And I didn't give it much thought then based on recent events. But Ole Miss has put together a couple of back-to-back wins. They've played good on back-to-back weeks. And really, against Auburn, they won a game for the first time in which the game was competitive. And that includes, you know, Alabama. Alabama made that late push late in the game. But Ole Miss had a 3-touchdown lead on a couple of occasions in the second half against Alabama. The Auburn game was one in which they fell behind and came back and took control and played pretty good offense and really good red zone defense. And, you know, like I said, it's the first game in which they've trailed, really. Maybe they've trailed another time, but maybe they got behind against Vanderbilt. I don't recall. But, you know, really the first game that's been real competitive where you thought it could go either way, and they made big plays down the stretch to win the game. The biggest being a 21-yard catch on a fade pattern for Laquon Treadwell. And really, you know, this is an elite player, a member of that 2013 signing class, a guy who kind of captured the attention of the college football nation last year with the gruesome injuries against Auburn and then the comeback. And, you know, he told us back in August he was going to come back stronger and better, he thought, than he was last year as a sophomore. And he's playing at that level right now, 4 straight 100-yard receiving games, an Ole Miss record, really just playing such physical football, winning at the point of attack, out battling defensive backs and making plays. And the Rebels certainly will need him to continue that trend against Arkansas. And we'll talk more about that game in a little bit. Logan, let's hit the Bulldogs right now. Coming up tonight at 8, Missouri has been really struggling on offense. Matty Mauch suspended, reinstated, then suspended again at quarterback. But they've played some pretty good defense, haven't they?
Just so focused on how bad their offense was that I didn't realize exactly just how good their defense is until I got to this week and started looking at this game and some of the stats that they've putting up. It's pretty remarkable. I mean, they're leading the SEC. I think they're only allowing teams 12.5 points a game. And that's pretty bad because they got a 4-4 record and their defense has played so well. And it's just the fact that their offense just cannot generate any points. In fact, their last touchdown was in the third quarter on October the 3rd against South Carolina. They didn't score in that fourth quarter, and they haven't scored in the three games since, at least a touchdown anyway. So, yeah, their offense has really, really struggled. I think Matty Mauk could have helped this offense in this game tonight. Of course, they suspended him for the remainder of the year. It's going to be the freshman, Drew Locke, who started the last – this will be his fifth straight start for Missouri. But he's a true freshman, just really hasn't done a good job. I think in his four previous starts, he's only completing about 41% of his passes. But, you know, you talk about their defense, you know, Kentrell Brothers, and they've got two really good defensive ends. One of them's Charles Harris. They've played really, really well on that side of the ball. And they're going to give Dak Prescott and Mississippi State's offense some fits tonight. Mississippi State is averaging, I think, close to 35 points a ball game. And I don't know that they're going to get anywhere close to that tonight. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I do think Mississippi State has a chance to win this game tonight. Probably should win this game tonight. Going into the year, I thought this would be a game that Missouri would win. But just the way that they played on offense over the last month without Matty Mauk, I really just don't think that they've got a chance. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a wet field tonight here in Columbia, a Thursday night game. There should be a lot of excitement in the stadium, but I just don't think that's enough to help an offense that just can't get out of its own way right now.
I tell you what, State might not score a whole lot in this game, but they won't need a whole lot. You know, it sounds like 7 or 10 might get it done. I mean, what was that? Was it 10-3 for Missouri against Vanderbilt?
Right.
You know, just really. You know, really struggling on offense an inordinate amount. I mean, Matty Mauk's not going to correct everything that's going on with this offense right now.
They're not. And the thing was, you know, we talked to Manny Diaz, Mississippi State's defensive coordinator this week, and he showed his defense 14 plays over the last three games that Missouri should have scored on and didn't. So they're just a little bit away from making those type of plays. They've got guys open down the field, and the ball's either overthrown or dropped, or they catch it in the end zone and then drop it. And it's just been a number of things that just not happening for, not clicking for on offense for Missouri right now. But
yeah, I would imagine one of the biggest challenges Manny Diaz has for this game is convincing State to respect its opponent, convincing the defense to respect the opponent. You know, when you stop doing that, that's when you run into trouble. But I'm going to tell you, just you know, Missouri struggling like they are, I mean, I just, you know, it speaks to depth. It speaks to playmakers. It's not just about one position. I mean, it's crazy. This is a team, you know, think back to 2012 when they came in the league. You know, when Missouri and Texas A&M joined the SEC, Missouri came in with a chip on the shoulder. Now, they both got these questions at media days that year about, oh, my goodness, you're in the SEC now. How are you going to handle this? But, you know, it was Missouri. It was Gary Pinkel and the players that really seemed to just bristle at those questions more than Texas A&M. You know, those guys just kind of blew them off at the time. But Missouri players and Gary Pinkel really seemed offended by that line of questioning. And lo and behold, they go on and make two quick appearances in the SEC championship game, representing the Eastern Division. You know, they've won some games. They've beaten most everybody in the league. You know, not Alabama, but a lot of big wins in the league. And it's kind of surprising just to see the issues that they're having on offense. I mean, it speaks at some level to recruiting.
And most of their losses this past year were on defense. You know, they had a really good defense a year ago when they went to the SEC championship game and lost some of those guys. But they're still playing at a very high level on that side of the ball. And it's almost a tale of two teams. You know, you've got a really great defense on one side, and then you've got a really terrible offense on the other side. So it's just, you know, the offense is continually putting that defense in bad situations throughout the game, and even a really good defense is going to give up points in those situations. So, you know, and it's really going to be a good test for Mississippi State's offense, I think. Mississippi State's offense has really played at a very high level over the last few games, and Dak Prescott's playing out of his mind right now. This is probably the best stretch that I've ever seen him play over the last two games. especially in that Kentucky game. He did throw his first interception in that ball game, but the guy thought he had six touchdowns in that ball game, and he's just had over 100 yards rushing, over 300 yards passing. He's just playing exceptionally well this year, and so much better than a year ago where he got all that national attention. Obviously, I think Mississippi State's record at this point has a lot to do with, you know, the lack of attention that Dak Prescott's getting. But, you know, the player that I see out there at quarterback from Mississippi State this year is a lot better ball player than what I saw a year ago.
And the record, and they're 6-2, man. They've lost twice to good teams, you know, LSU and Texas A&M, but kind of flying under the radar. But, you know, another consistent year for Mississippi State. Another 8 o'clock game, Logan. I know you're excited about that. You know, I look at Ole Miss's schedule this year so far, just the one after 8 o'clock start, and I've been fortunate to cover a lot of daytime football, several 11 a.m. kicks, and a 2:30 kick this weekend against Arkansas. All this daytime football I've been getting to cover, Logan, it makes me think the Egg Bowl is going to start at 1 a.m.
Well, it kind of fits you and I's personality. You're kind of the early riser, and I'm kind of the night owl of the two. So, I mean, it fits our personalities. But, you know, I'd rather wake up and cover a ball game since I have to do it on deadline. I think my stories would be a whole lot better. But, you know, like I said, I've covered 8 o'clock games. I've covered 8:15 games. I've covered 9 o'clock games this year. And just hadn't seen a whole lot of daytime football this season. And that's going to continue tonight. The weird thing about tonight, it's supposed to be pouring down rain up here. So it hasn't started raining just yet. But I think the rain's coming. It could be a sloppy game.
Or maybe a lightning delay, Logan. How about that? Maybe the 8 o'clock kickoff, and then you play for like 5 minutes in the first quarter, and then you have one of those weather delays. Man, I've covered those on the road before up in Fayetteville. So that's a lot of fun. Hey folks, let's talk about this Ole Miss game right now. Arkansas coming in, as I mentioned earlier, Logan. I knew somebody was going to say right after that Memphis game that they still controlled their fate in the SEC, and it wasn't up for debate. I mean, it was clearly, you know, it was a non-conference loss. It was devastating in terms of where they could have been when that first batch of college football playoff rankings were released, as they were earlier this week. Ole Miss coming in at number 18. You know, the Rebels are 7-2 right now. If they were 8-1 and had found a way to beat Memphis, and their only loss had been to Florida on the road, you know, they'd be a lot higher in those college football playoff rankings right now. But to be honest with you, this team was nowhere near that level a few weeks ago at Memphis. It was a team that had struggled since the Alabama game. We saw the Rebels kind of sleepwalking a little bit against Vanderbilt, not really gaining any separation in that game until very late, but going on to win against Vanderbilt. Then really were just dominated at Florida. They come back and they overwhelm a New Mexico State team that is easily overwhelmed. And then they go to Memphis, where they get off to a great start, but the momentum turned, as it often does in a football game, and you've got to stop that flow and turn it back, and Ole Miss was never able to do that. In those losses to Florida and Memphis, the Ole Miss secondary was giving up a completion rate in those two games, pass completion rate of 77%. That's from a redshirt freshman, a talented player in Florida's Will Grier, who has since been suspended, but he was very much available for that game and really on the mark against the Rebels. Then Paxton Lynch, you know, who many believe will be a first-round NFL draft pick next year. You know, those two guys combining for 77% in their completion percentage, and they did it in different ways. Grier really hurting Ole Miss with crossing patterns in the short game, and then Lynch having success consistently with those deep out patterns. Now, this is a different Ole Miss team, and it's hard. It's hard to show great improvement in the middle of the season, but after that Memphis game, you know, there were the team meetings and the coaches meetings and just a lot of emotions coming out, and a lot of conversations, and really, they've gone back to a more physical approach in practice, really focusing on their tackling. That has improved. I thought the tackling would get better. I wasn't so sure the pass coverage would get better on the fly, but it has. We see cornerbacks giving up less space, playing a little more man coverage, a little more press coverage. They scale back defensive calls or calling fewer things, calling things their guys are just really comfortable with. And the biggest thing, Logan, is, man, they're getting players back. I mean, when you take a guy like Tony Connor out of your lineup, you feel it. I mean, this is another guy who's projected as a late first or some point in the second round draft pick next spring if he chooses to come out. I don't know that he will now after he's missed as much of the season as he has. Tony Connor will play against Arkansas. It'll be his first game since week three against Alabama. He had surgery on a torn meniscus after that game, and they've missed him. They miss his fundamental tackling. They miss his big hits. They miss him in pass coverage. They'll get him back at least in a limited capacity this weekend. Don't know how many plays he'll play. But you start adding guys back into the lineup like C.J. Johnson, like Tony Connor, and, of course, Laramie Tunsil on offense. Ole Miss right now is the closest it has been to the team that everyone thought in August would compete for the SEC West title, the closest the Rebels have been to that team since early in the season.
Yeah, you're looking at Mississippi State, some of the games that they've had, of course, Will Redmond in the secondary really hurt. Kendrick Market was in safety, so that secondary had to grow up quickly. They had a little bit of experience coming into the season, not much, but they had a little bit. And what little bit of experience they had, they've lost most of that. So a lot of these young guys like a Jamal Peters, a Brendan Bryant, a Mark McLaurin, those guys had to come in as freshmen and contribute right away, some of them even in a starting role. You look at a guy like Philando Cleveland, who's had a couple of spot starts throughout his career. He's having to fill in for Will Redmond now. So that kind of shifted everybody up at cornerback. Everybody kind of jumped up a notch. And you look at the Kentucky game, a guy like Tevez Calhoun is really having to become their leader back there. He's a senior cornerback and has the most experience in Mississippi State secondary. He hasn't had an interception all season. He comes up in that Kentucky game and picks off two passes, and they were acrobatic interceptions, some of the best that I've ever seen. And I think it's the next man up mentality that they've had to have. And this team's coming into the year, they were a young team in a lot of spots, and that's why many people didn't expect Mississippi State to be as competitive as they were a year ago. They didn't think that they would be able to reach the level that they did a year ago. And obviously they've got two losses already at this point in the season, but one of those losses to LSU was by a field goal, a missed field goal at the end of that ball game. And Mississippi State, if the ball goes a few feet to the left, then Mississippi State is sitting here at 6-1, and in the same shoes that Ole Miss is in right now, still controlling their own destiny. Mississippi State still has an outside shot to win the West, but a lot of ifs have to happen for that. That's really not even in their minds right now. It's still mathematically possible, but a lot of things have to happen for that to occur. So Mississippi State's just trying to better itself in bowl positioning right now. A win over Missouri tonight will help that. And then obviously the rest of the month of November is pretty stout for Mississippi State.
Well, like I said, Ole Miss is getting stronger. The Arkansas game, it's certainly not one they can sleep on, but I could see Ole Miss coming out having won a couple of games back-to-back now. This is a team that has regained a lot of confidence. It's a team that's playing better. I think they'll come out and play with energy and focus against Arkansas, and they'll remember that 30-0 beatdown they took in Fayetteville last season when they didn't come out with energy and focus, and they didn't match the intensity that Arkansas brought to the game that day. I think that weighs on the minds of these players, too. They've talked about it a little bit. I was a little surprised at how quickly Hugh Freeze jumped up for that question in the press conference earlier this week. But he talks about being motivated by that big loss as well, that he is an offensive coach and a competitor, and that he's eager to get another shot to play Arkansas. There are some matchups that that favor Ole Miss in this game. The Rebels are running the ball better. They'll face the biggest challenge they've faced defensively in a run defense since they started improving in the run game. I mean, they had a big game against Texas A&M, which was ranked number 97 against the run at that time, and then a big game against against Auburn that was ranked number 100. Arkansas has been doing a lot better with the run defense, fifth in the SEC and number 20 in the nation, giving up about 117 yards a game to their opponents. The matchup that favors Ole Miss is going to be the passing game, where the Rebels lead the SEC in yards per game, and Chad Kelly is one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the conference right now. A lot of interceptions, but he throws a lot of passes too, and he's thrown a lot of touchdown passes, 20 on the year. Arkansas has really struggled to cover the pass, number 114 in the nation in yards per game, number 95 in efficiency. So it sure looks like Kelly and Laquon Treadwell and the Rebels will have some opportunities downfield against that Arkansas secondary. I put on the blog, Logan, about 30-23 with Ole Miss winning. So we'll see if I get as close to that score as I did last week for the Auburn game. I had the Rebels winning 27-17, and it ended up 29-17. So you don't get that close that often, man. Kind of like the golf game, man. Close to the pin, you get a little bit of credit. This is Parrish Alford. Wanted to share with you guys now an interview I had earlier in the week with Tom Murphy. He's the Arkansas beat writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the Little Rock newspaper. Tom and I go back a long way, back to my Louisiana directional school days when I was at Northeast Louisiana, and Tom had the misfortune of being down the road in Ruston at Louisiana Tech. But he's been covering Arkansas for a long time now. Here's Tom Murphy. I'm joined now by Tom Murphy. He covers Arkansas for the Democrat Gazette and Little Rock and lives in Fayetteville and just spread out all over doing all things Razorbacks. Tom, how are you, man?
Doing quite well, man. Ready for a big game week here.
It is a big game week. You know what? It was a real big game for Ole Miss last year, trying to finish strong, and the Rebels went up to Fayetteville and got off to a bad start, and it just went downhill from there. And I don't know that, you know, based on how Arkansas was playing, I don't think it was a major shock or was completely stunning that Arkansas would win. But I don't think people expected Ole Miss to lose that game 30-0 right now. What's the feeling for Arkansas going to Oxford this year? Do you hear players talk about that game much at all?
There was a little bit in the post game the other day, Parrish, and I think what they realize is that Ole Miss is going to try to respond. I mean, 30-0 is a pounding, and you don't get shut out like that very often. It was a bad weather game and everything, and I know the Treadwell injury was still pretty fresh. So, and there was there were turnovers in that game. So, when you look at the numbers in this game, there's so many trends that favor Ole Miss and the fact that they got the conference's top offense and top passing offense. The Razorbacks are struggling in pass D right now. And, I think the Ole Miss defense, they're solid against the run. And, you know, Arkansas wants to be balanced, but if they can't run the ball, I'm just not sure if they're going to be able to sustain drives and score touchdowns if they're a little bit one-sided there.
Yeah, how much does Arkansas want to be balanced? I mean, when you think of Arkansas, you think of big offensive linemen, you think of a dynamic running game under Brett Bielema. I think of a quarterback who is a senior and who might be a little undervalued in terms of the big picture of SEC quarterbacks. But Brandon Allen's played pretty well. I mean, I think he's what, third in the conference in passer rating right now and efficiency. And Auburn was getting open against that Ole Miss secondary, finding some wide spaces there and some zone coverage, getting behind those defensive backs a little bit. If you would, you mentioned balance, but, how much will Arkansas force the issue with the run game, and how much will they put the game in the hands of Brandon Allen?
Well, the new offensive coordinator, Dan Enos, was charged with adding diversity to this offense. And we, you know, being able to pass the ball in games, like just to say it, an Alabama on a yearly basis or an LSU where they've had struggled to run the ball. And so in those types of games, they had to be able to make hay through the pass game. And they did that. Well, in the Toledo game, there were some wrinkles in the game planning in week two that really made it difficult for them to run. And so they went to the pass. Well, they ended up, he passed for 412 yards or something in that game, and they should have won it. They just did not score touchdowns when they got into the red zone. And so that got everybody kind of aflame about, well, why have you gotten away from the run? It's not that they got away. It's just that in that game, they needed to move the ball and to get first down, they had to pass it. So they did. Since then, they've gotten a little bit more of just straight ahead, like the drive blocking and then some zone blocking schemes. And it's been much more effective. Alabama, you know, shut them down a little bit. But since then, in some other SEC games, they've shown some balance. Brandon Allen has, in fact, moved to number one in the conference in pass efficiency after a big game last week, 14 of 19, 256 and two touchdowns. His TD to interceptions right now is 15-5. And he's just more in command. He knows how to check into good plays and out of bad plays and has sophistication in his reads and his progressions. And he seems to have settled down from the games 2, 3, and 4. It looked like he was delivering the ball with a little bit too much mustard when he was throwing into the end zone. So I think he's got that more control. And he's just a fifth-year senior guy doing the right things. He's got a good arm. He can make all the throws. And he's had to deal with a different cast of characters at receiver with all these injuries they've had. But they are a quality pass team right now. And let's just say Arkansas's run is really limited. They have the ability to move it down the field in the air. It's just a matter of if they can close the drive with scores or not.
Well, talk about the run game. There was a key injury at the beginning, right? And I know they're leaning on Alex Collins a lot right now, and that's not a bad guy to lean on.
No, not a bad guy at all. He's averaging 120 now a game. You know, it's top 25 or so in the country in rushing. Jonathan Williams went out in the first scrimmage. You know, they had two 1,100-yard rushers on this team, so they lost him in the first scrimmage. And then in week two, that Toledo game was really a catastrophe in a lot of areas. It was the game that they lost the receiver Keon Hatcher. Cody Walker, their big back, dislocated a thumb in that game, and he was out several weeks until the Auburn game. And so, but he's back. And then against Auburn, they lost the freshman, Raleigh Williams, who was a good prospect. He could be an SEC star if he, you know, heals back up from his next surgery. So where they are right now is Collins, who had a big toe issue, but still ran for 173 and five touchdowns last week against Tennessee Martin. And then Walker, who's just about back up to speed, had a big game in overtime against Auburn. And then you're dropping down to Denzel Evans and Juwan Day, guys who haven't had a lot of carry. So it's probably going to go about two backs deep in this game.
Well, you mentioned Ole Miss offensively maybe having an advantage with its passing game against against the Arkansas secondary. And it's true. I mean, Chad Kelly's been really good this season and has brought the deep ball back to the offense more so than Bo Wallace was able to do. And he's been pretty accurate with that deep ball and spreading it around to different guys. Obviously, everyone knows about Laquon Treadwell. Auburn tried to take him away in the first half. He had just one catch. He comes back in the second half with six catches, also completed a pass. But the big catch, 21-yard touchdown on a fade route when he finally got some man coverage. Treadwell was targeted seven times against Auburn and had seven catches. So, you know, when they find opportunities with Treadwell, they're looking to get him the ball, and he's responding. But Kelly is also spreading the ball around to receivers that for the most part have been very good this year, beyond Treadwell. That it's been a deep and talented group. Now, I thought they underperformed at Auburn. You had some guys leave some plays on the table, some downfield throws that were dropped or just plays that weren't completed, you know, a couple of screen passes dropped. You know, Auburn's receivers had been struggling going into that game, but I thought collectively They outplayed the non-Treadwell receivers for Ole Miss in that game.
Yeah, Parrish, but, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just – but by and large, it's been a deep and talented cast of receivers for Ole Miss.
Right. And when I look at the Ole Miss numbers, I'm seeing, you know, number 11 in the country total offense. Passing offense also number 11. Not big balance, 66 with run offense. But one number that jumps out at me here is turnover margin. And I know it played a role in the Memphis game, but how would you say the turnovers have impacted Ole Miss so far?
You know, they've been able to overcome the turnovers for the most part, because while Kelly is throwing interceptions, 12 of them this year, he's also throwing touchdown passes. You know, they seem to be washing each other out. You know, he threw two touchdowns against Auburn. He's got 20 on the year. You know, he throws two interceptions against Auburn. One of those was just a perfect pass, goes through his tight end's hands, Evan Engram, bounces off a helmet into a defender. You know, it's hard to count that against the quarterback, but it goes against him. And the fact of the matter is, right now, Chad Kelly's working on a streak of three games with multiple interceptions. Mm. You know, they're still talking about decisions at quarterback. You know, and I thought that the Ole Miss had moved past that a little bit. You know, that was a constant storyline for Bo Wallace. I thought the Rebels had moved past that, but they really haven't. The difference is that Kelly is getting the offense down the field with the deep ball, and he's pretty accurate too. You know, he's throwing about 65%. So, I mean, he's played really well, and if he could just distance himself from the turnovers, he'd be, you know, outstanding. But right now, you got to talk about those because they're there. But tell me about Arkansas's defensive front. You know, third in the SEC in run defense, I believe. We expect Arkansas to be a physical group, you know, when I see them play on defense. And Ole Miss has run the ball much better the last 2 weeks after struggling, but they've run against defenses that were number 97 in run defense in Texas A&M and number 100 with Auburn.
Yeah, the storyline for the Arkansas defense was that they weren't going to have superstars like Trey Flowers and Darius Filon, who were big, big impact guys last year, that they were going to have more depth across the board. But what the problem is, they're not defeating enough one-on-one blocks. And whenever they blitz, they're not getting in the quarterback enough. They did not have a sack last week against Tennessee Martin. The quarterback, Neal, really tore him up. I think he was 30 of 43. He had one touchdown pass. But then in the run game, even though it was, I think, in the 130s that the Skyhawks ran for, they had three touchdowns that had broken tackles in them, and they were the 20-something yard variety. Two of them were the 20-yard-plus variety. They were just totally uncharacteristic of this team. The Arkansas defense appeared to somewhat sleepwalk through last week, and I don't know if they were just being super vanilla to leave that as the last film for Ole Miss or just what, but it was really a disappointing performance. They gave up 519 total yards to Tennessee Martin, which is just an eye-opening number, and which is what Ole Miss averages per game as well. And then flipping one last thing here, Parrish, the Ole Miss defense, I think Arkansas fans would want to know, is this the good kind of carryover Landshark defense? I'm looking at the numbers. Rush defense, number 24 in the country. That's solid at 121 a game. The pass yardage allowed is high. It's 70th in the country at 226. But efficiency is 27th, so not allowing a lot of touchdowns on that yardage.
Yeah, they're not as good in the secondary as they were, number one. They just don't cover as well without Cinquez Golson and Cody Pruitt, both All-Americans there, Golson at corner and Pruitt at safety. That being said, they are improved. You go back to the games that they lost, Florida and Memphis, those two accurate quarterbacks, Will Grier at Florida and Paxton Lynch at Memphis, were a combined 77% completion percentage in those games. Now, the Rebels have gotten a little healthier. They've gotten a little more confident in the secondary. And Auburn didn't complete a lot of passes now, just 13. The completion percentage was like in the 40s, and it was the second straight game that Ole Miss had held an opponent to under 50% completion. But Auburn hit big plays in the passing game. On those 13 completions, they averaged 23.2 yards. So Ole Miss is better, is covering better, but still leaving some gaps back there that quarterbacks and receivers can take advantage of. They have been good against the run. They've been very good against you know, they're very deep and talented on the defensive line. But the thing to remember in the big picture of this Ole Miss defense is that they lost a guy who could be a late first-round pick, certainly second-round pick, in their nickelback, Tony Connor. That was a huge loss for this team. That impacted how they covered crossing patterns and short stuff in pass defense, but more just a big physical hitter. Well, they played a couple of games without Connor and really were shuffling, and you know, they've settled down a little bit by moving Mike Hilton, a senior, back to that Husky position. That's kind of settled things down a little bit and has led to some of this improvement in pass defense. Well, they expect to have Connor back for Arkansas. It'll be his first game back, but could get a big lift there. Now, they've also played some games this year without another senior at middle linebacker, a sure tackler, a good rush guy in C.J. Johnson. And he's also been back, and that has contributed to better defensive performances the last couple of games. So overall, I don't think they are as good defensively as they were last year. That has to do with play in the secondary. But I do think they're getting better and they're getting healthier.
Now, when I look at this pair, I see time of possession. Arkansas is way up there in the country, and Ole Miss is at 113. It's just a really another battle of philosophies, and I think it's going to be who is more efficient at the end of their drives to see who wins this game.
Oh, absolutely. And Ole Miss scores quickly sometimes. And they struggled in the red zone against Auburn. They were 0-for-3 in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone, settled for a couple of field goals. Sometimes that stat's misleading. The touchdown that really broke the back for Auburn was Treadwell's 21-yard catch on a fade. Well, that's 1 yard from being a red zone score. You know, you're right there. You're right there. So, but anyway, they did not perform well in the red zone against Auburn. All year, short yardage has been a struggle. The best down you can get for the Ole Miss offense, if you're the defense, is 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. That's been a struggle, and it was again against Auburn. So, you know, we'll see. It was a 3rd and 1 that Robert Kimdichie sustained a concussion on against Memphis when he was tackled, and we didn't see him on offense against Auburn, but Hugh Freeze hasn't ruled out using him on offense again this season. But we'll see. They did get him back, and he played well at Auburn. Folks, that's it for this edition, this interview with Tom Murphy. We thank you for being with us, Tom, and I look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
That was Tom Murphy covering Arkansas for the Democrat Gazette newspaper. Hey, folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for being with us and want to remind you also to check out the memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, filling you up on news of the day and current events and all things happening in Northeast Mississippi. Thanks for being with us, folks. We'll be back next week.